In order to talk about conversational AI today, we needed to pick a topic, a scenario for us to actually sort of start to dive into. But one thing I really want to highlight is that the technology we're going to see here could be used anywhere. Really, the possibilities are pretty endless, and hopefully this session is designed to give you an insight into what's possible, show you how we can really make something quite sophisticated very quickly. And I'll be delighted. Please drop your questions into the chat, and we'll definitely answer as many of them as we can at the end. So today we're going to focus on a scenario again with Tailwind Traders. Tailwind Traders have recently surveyed their employees, and they want to find out how employee satisfaction is, and where people are happy and where they are not so happy, and where things could be improved. And the good news is all of the employees internally think their career progression options are fantastic. But Tailwind Traders have the same problem that many enterprises and businesses out there have, which is the employee experience, certainly now in times where we're working from home, is not fantastic. There's still plenty of cumbersome scenarios and processes that you need to either print something out, fill it in, sign it, send it off to somebody else to be approved. Maybe it's via email. And actually, they're just not happy with these cumbersome processes, which are just made harder in the current climate. So they're going to try and use conversational AI to solve these problems. And really, let's just land on a definition of conversational AI before we go any further. And this is one of the definitions that I quite like. But essentially, we're talking about humans and machines interacting in a natural way. Gone are the days where I should have to buy a book to understand what the exact syntax is, the exact commands to type into a computer to have it understand me. Now we just expect, and more users and customers are expecting, to be able to interact with computers in the same way they interact with their friends, you and me, and colleagues at work. And Microsoft has a phenomenal conversational AI platform to allow us to build robust, sophisticated solutions to actually answer some of these problems. And you're going to see some of the services that we've talked about in previous sessions today, again, coming into the picture for conversational AI. So let's look at it end to end. Everything starts with some user input. Traditionally, as we were just talking about, that can be via text or speech, but it doesn't have to be. It could be via video, it could be via images. It really, as long as you can input and you can send that data to an application, then we could accept that as input as part of a conversational AI solution as well. The next thing is the channels. And one of the services we're going to talk about today is Azure Bot Service, which allows you to create conversational AI applications and surface them on multiple channels. Those channels could be internal facing, like Microsoft Teams or Slack, or they could be external facing for customers, such as a web chat on a website, or even one of the home assistants, such as Alexa. Then we need to actually build an application to sit behind one of those channels for our customers and users to actually engage with. And in this scenario that we're going to talk about, our customers are the employees of Tailwind Traders. Everything that you're going to see is built on top of the Bot Framework SDK. That's actually available in 4 languages for you to actually build code-first solutions if you wanted to. And if you've used Bot Framework in the past, there's every chance that you've built a code-first solution already. But actually now, we actually have 2 awesome solutions within Microsoft to allow you to build conversational AI applications incredibly rapidly and really build up some sophisticated logic. The first one is Power Virtual Agents. It's part of the Power Platform. This is really, really well suited for business users and citizen developers. It's a no-code solution. And thanks to a release just earlier this week, we've increased the options for you to be able to extend that using our second option, Bot Framework Composer, which is our integrated development tool for developers. And it allows you to create, edit, and test conversational AI applications incredibly quickly. Connected to that, as I said, are the cognitive services. Really, the Bot Framework SDK is allowing you to, it's like the orchestrator for the for conversations, but then we add cognitive services like language understanding service, or Lewis as is more commonly known, Q&A Maker, and the speech service to actually add intelligence to our solution. Okay, so now I'm actually gonna dive into a demo. And we're going to jump over to Bot Framework Composer for us to really understand how we could start to build out some functionality that will help Tailwind traders employees. And if you are struggling, I've zoomed in already, please do go full screen if you would like to, if you need to see this content. So I'm here in Composer, I've created a new bot and I've already added some functionality to it for us to walk through. It's just in the interest of time. The first thing to know is that bots built with Composer are built on a trigger and action paradigm. So you will have one or more triggers, which I can add up here for adding a new trigger. And triggers are a way for me to respond to external events, such as a message being received and that triggering an intent being recognized. And this is the integration with Lewis. Or maybe it is somebody joining a conversation or a custom event being being received. Whenever you create a bot inside of Composer, you'll always start with the greeting trigger. The greeting trigger is fired and executed when somebody joins that conversation. The next thing to notice are actions. These are actions that are listed here on my canvas. And I can have one or more actions for each trigger that define what happens with my conversation when that trigger is fired. So in this case, the greeting trigger fires when the user starts the conversation with the bot, when they join the conversation. And essentially, I'm sending a welcome message back to the user. Over here on the right-hand side, you can see that I'm actually specifying the text for this send a response action to use. And I'm using something called LG, or language generation syntax. And you can see here that I've actually specified two different variants of the same message. And I've done that for a really specific reason. Traditionally, chatbots could actually feel quite stale. And samey if you use them over and over again. And we can actually use LG to specify multiple variants of the things that the bot will say to make sure that actually, if you use it more than once, the bot will actually pick one of those variants at random and make the conversation feel more fresh and more natural for people who are using it over and over again. Composer also has other types of actions that we can add, such as asking open questions, using multiple choice, date and time prompts, et cetera, and even accessing external resources, such as sending HTTP requests. Over here on the left, I've got another trigger, the help trigger. And this is using one of the more common types of trigger. This is the intent recognized trigger. And this is going back to Lewis that we saw in an earlier session. And over here on the right-hand side, I've specified trigger phrases, examples of what a user might say in order to help me indicate that that intent has been matched. And we'll actually take all of the trigger phrases for each of the triggers that we've created, and Composer will automatically create and publish a Lewis model for you. When I'm ready, I can click Start the Bot. I've already started it here. And when I start it, it's going to ask me for a Lewis key, which I'm going to populate. And once I've populated that Lewis key, it will create that Lewis model, start my bot, and it's ready to test locally. I can then switch over to the Bot Framework Emulator, which you can see in front of you now. So I've started a conversation with the bot. Let's restart it. You can see here that I've received a conversation update event, meaning the user's joined. It's fired my greeting trigger, and it's presented me with the welcome message. You can see here it says, hi there, I'm the Tailwind Traders Employee Vacation Assistant. If I restart that, now it's picked a different one. It says, welcome to the Tailwind Traders Vacation Assistant. I can just type help if I want to, and the bot's going to trigger a different trigger. It's going to trigger that based on a call through to the Lewis service. The Lewis service is going to understand that the help intent has been matched, and it's going to fire my help trigger. And the help trigger will then send this response and execute the actions that it needs to. Another thing that it's worth noting is I can take one or more of my actions that are on the screen, and I can group them into what's called a dialogue, such as this dialogue here, book vacation. So this book vacation dialogue is designed to allow a Tailwind Traders employee to raise a vacation request rather than going through the traditional sort of paper-based approach. They want to be able to just do it wherever they are, whether that's in Microsoft Teams, or Slack, or any other platform. Here I'm using a number of different prompts, such as date and time, and multiple choice, for example, to actually collect the information from the user. So let's go ahead back into the emulator and have a look at what that looks like. So I can go ahead and say book vacation. That's going to match the book vacation intent, and it's going to ask me for the start date. Thanks to the built-in recognizers within the Bot Framework SDK, I can actually say things like tomorrow, and that's automatically going to resolve the dates out for me. Specify when my vacation ends. I even get suggested actions based on the because I'm using a multiple choice prompt. It's providing me with suggested actions, so I don't have to type everything. We're trying to make the input the most appropriate and the most efficient for the user. Here it's asking me if I've got any comments that I need to leave with this vacation request, but actually I made a mistake. I said no. It's now asking me whether or not all of the details are correct. Now, traditionally, I would need to answer yes or no in this instance. If I didn't answer yes or no to a bot that was built maybe with some older technology, it would just repeat the question and say, I didn't understand. But it would be much more natural if I could say something like, change my comment, amend my comment to something else. So how can we achieve that using Composer? Well, let's switch back over and I'll show you how straightforward this is. If I look at the prompt for confirmation here, and I switch over to the prompt configurations, you'll see that I've enabled a setting called Allow Interruptions. And if I set Allow Interruptions to true, that means any one of these triggers over here on the left-hand side could actually interrupt and take over the conversation temporarily, execute their actions, and then have the bot resume back on this confirmation prompt. And that allows me to implement a nested trigger. So I've created another trigger here called edit comment. And edit comment has trigger phrases like change the comment, edit the comment. And you can see here, I've even started to add things like simple machine learned entities, which you can add within a Lewis model to allow the user to even say something like change my comment to long weekend. So what's going to happen is at the point at which we show the confirmation prompt, if this trigger gets fired, it's going to ask the user for what they would like to change the comment to. But we're going to check if they've already stated their new comment as part of their phrase. And if we have, we'll skip over that prompt. We will store that new comment over the top of the old one that the user entered, and then it will jump back into the confirmation prompt as part of the book vacation dialogue. So really, it's taken me a couple of minutes there as a developer to actually implement this scenario. I can jump back in here and I can say, change the comment to long weekend. Do that, and then what's actually happened there, it's re-prompted me. It realizes I've already specified long weekend as part of my initial phrase. It's updated that, and now it's re-prompting me. I can say yes, and it will go ahead and book that vacation for me. Okay, so that's fantastic. I've now got the ability for my Tailwind Traders employees to book vacation as part of their dialogue, as part of the bot. What I'd like to do next, though, is actually start to surface information that we have within the Tailwind Traders FAQ page. This is all information that employees have to right now. They have to navigate to the intranet, they have to find the FAQ page, and then they can start to browse through those questions to see if they can find an answer. Well, actually, there's a service, a cognitive service called Q&A Maker, which can actually take the contents from this FAQ page and turn them into a conversational application. So if we switch back over to Composer, I can actually add another trigger. And this time it's a specific trigger. It's a knowledge-based trigger. I could give this knowledge base a name, like Q&A. And here I would paste in the URL to that FAQ page. And when I click Create KB, that FAQ page will actually be extracted by Q&A Maker and will store all of those questions and answers for me right here inside of Composer. I also get additional capabilities that Q&A Maker offers, such as the ability to add additional alternative phrasing to help the training. But just like Lewis, when I start the bot, it will actually go ahead and publish my Q&A Maker model for me up into the cloud. Previously, you would have to move between the Q&A Maker portal, the Lewis portal, and your code inside your SDK-driven bot. But now, using Composer, we try and make sure that you can stay within the context and stay within your flow when you're building your conversational application. Now that I've done that, I can go back to my bot and I can type in something like, what does WOB mean? And the bot will go and query the Q&A maker model, and it will come back and present me with the answer, work on behalf of. And you can see here now how the trigger and action-based approach really is effective for building a multi-talented conversational AI application. Depending on the message that I send and the recognition from Lewis or from Q&A maker, or whether or not it's a particular event like a user starting a conversation, really drives my my conversational application and allows me to handle things like interruptions and context switching in a way that I just haven't been able to do before. Okay, when I'm ready, I can switch over to the publish section within Composer. And here I can actually publish out to an Azure web app, Azure Functions, or even with the latest update this week to Power Virtual Agents, where we can actually extend Power Virtual Agent solutions using Composer. I definitely encourage you to check that out if you've used Power Virtual Agents in the past. Once you've published out to Azure, you can switch over here to the Azure portal and your bot registrations resource, which is created for you when you provision your resources. And here it's really straightforward to start to enable channels like Alexa or Slack other channels like speech. And here I could click Teams if I wanted to. I get the instructions for enabling that channel and how I can publish out to the Teams application store. And within minutes, I can be chatting to my bot in Teams. Okay, so let's switch back to the slides. So we started off with a scenario where employees were happy about some things, but they were struggling with some of those more common, more cumbersome processes. We've solved that problem by implementing conversational AI. And as Jason said before, really meeting the users where they are, allowing them to interact with the bot on any channel where they normally converse with other people, meaning they don't have to break out of their flow. Just like we don't have to break out of our flow when we're using Composer and we're integrating with cognitive services. You can find out more about Composer and get started by visiting aka.ms/try-composer. I'd really encourage you to do that. We've got some phenomenal new features in the latest release, and we've got lots more planned for the coming months as well. You can also check out aka.ms/AIML40 for an MS Learn course around bot framework. You won't find Composer in there yet, but we do have some. We do have another module focused on Composer, and we do have some updates planned to that content as well. As we've called out in the previous sessions as well, check out aka.ms/AI900 for the Azure Fundamentals course. A fantastic certification to get hold of. So definitely encourage you to check that out. And now we're going to head right back over to Jason, I think, for some Q&A.
That's right. Awesome job, Gary. That was amazing, as expected. Blew me away with all that chat op stuff. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, it's a topic I've spent a lot of time working on. And very little with a lot of the, you know, the Azure Cognitive Services and the different things that you demonstrated today. And man, my mind was just spinning with ideas. Like I have so many questions for you, but before we get to my questions, let's answer some of the questions from Learn TV's chat. First of all, we got a question from Mike. Where's the data stored on your vacation bot? How does that data get moved around? Where's it saved?
So interestingly, with some solutions, when you're building AI solutions, for example, quite often your data might be stored in the cloud and you don't necessarily have access to it. With Composer, we really wanted to avoid you hitting a cliff, right? There's a lot of solutions out there that have a visual designer that allows you to design something, but then if you want to customize it, you have to completely change track and then go build you something separately using the SDK. Composer is just a layer on top of the Bot Framework SDK. So as you're designing your conversation and your dialogues that you saw me handling there, and you're creating your language models, we're actually creating a real SDK bot on disk, and all of your language models are actually stored in Markdown-like files, and they get used, transformed, and pushed into the cloud when you start your bot.
Okay, that makes sense. So follow-up question to that is, follow-up from our guest, Mike, is it possible to integrate with Power Platform in the stuff that you demonstrated? Nope, we muted you, hang on.
Let's try that. Don't ask me how that happened. I'm talking to myself. I hadn't even noticed. Right. Yes. Power Platform. Let's reset.
Yeah.
So, yes. As I said earlier, we've got two options. We've got Microsoft Power Virtual Agents right now, which allows you to go and build conversational applications. And we have Bot Framework Composer. Great, both great options, depending on which audience you come from. Again, we are very, very focused on making sure that there are no cliffs. So if you start in Power Virtual Agents, which is awesome, you can now actually extend that into using Composer directly to actually add extra functionality. You can also take any bot that you build inside of Composer and you can turn it into what we call a bot framework skill. So any bot can be a skill. And that means that you can actually have this like parent-child type of functionality where my Power Virtual Agents bot can call out to my HR bot as a skill. So you might have a single front door for all of your employees and then have one team build a bot using Composer, have that as a like an IT bot built and expose that as a skill, and another team build a HR bot and expose that as a skill, really allowing you to democratize the ability to develop these solutions across the organization.
Excellent. Excellent. So yeah, we can have multiple bots that all sort of talk to each other, I guess you could say.
Right.
So exactly. We spent a lot of time going over Composer. Awesome tool, but you also mentioned the Power Virtual Agents as a no-code solution. We didn't really demo too much about those. I get the impression from the Composer, it's somewhat no-code. I mean, there's a lot of, it's a nice interface where you pick your triggers and your actions, very Logic App-like, I would say, Power Platform-like. What else can you tell us about that the Power Virtual Agent that is, why would we choose to use that? Why would I go explore that model or that tool rather than what we showed us?
Right. So I think it depends. I think if you are a business user, or let's say maybe a less technical user, you're not a developer, Power Virtual Agents is a great place to start because there is, you definitely have more, you're on more rails with that experience. There's still plenty of power there, but really they are surfacing the key scenarios that we need to build the most common type of tools. I think another key thing to point out here is that Power Virtual Agents, because it's part of the Power Platform, has incredible links to the rest of the Power Platform, things like Power Automate, etc. So that's a great place to go for building many conversation solutions, especially if you want to hook into things like Power Automate. Composer will do many of the same things. We have many of the same ideas, and actually from many, many bots, you could choose either. Where Composer really comes into its own from a development standpoint is you saw me today using the built-in actions. I can actually really easily fire up Visual Studio, open the SDK bot that sits underneath my Composer project, and I can start to actually build my own custom actions to drop into that canvas to do things like connect to third-party platforms. For example, I've recently been working on a number of actions to allow you to handle things like human handoff and connect to systems like LivePerson or Dynamics, or even integrate with the Microsoft Graph by calling out for calendar information.
Yeah. Well, that's a great segue into another question we have from one of our guests over at Learn TV, from Johan. He's asking, can you have different services available depending on the channel, i.e. some services are for employees only and others for customers depending on the teams or the web as a channel?
Yep. Yes, you absolutely can. And that's really, really up to you. Every message that you receive into your bot, it's called an activity. The activity underneath, and it actually has a bunch of metadata on it that tells you what channel has this message been received from, which user has it been received from. And so you can actually then use conditions inside of Composer to offer up different types of functionality. So if I receive a message and it's on Teams, then I might want to surface up some HR-related information. I know that that's going to be an employee. Whereas if it was web chat, maybe I'm going to surface up something that's more customer-facing. It really depends on your scenario. Most of the time, you're going to find that actually the use cases will fall into, customer or internal, and potentially you have two bots that maybe talk to each other at times or share some code. Underneath, this is a web application. So anything you can do in terms of code sharing, et cetera, with, a traditional web application, you can actually do with a conversational application using Bot Framework as well.
Excellent. So a question that comes to mind related to that is, let's say I do have an external service that I'd like to send. Let's say I want to collect some information from my users And then I want to pass that on out to an external service and then maybe get some information back from it. I'm guessing sounds like that's also possible.
Really, really simple. And in fact, if I just switch back over to Composer, I don't know if we can just pull it up on the screen.
Let's pull your screen back up there.
Here we go. So as I said, Composer has a number of different actions, right? So at the end of this dialogue, if I wanted to, I could access an external resource and I'd send a HTTP request. So and when I click on that, that's going to add this action. I can specify the type of the method, I can specify the URL for the where the HTTP request should be. And then you have this thing called result property. And in here, I could say something like dialog.result, and that's going to store the results of the HTTP request in that variable in memory.
Excellent.
Now that that's there, I can then actually call out to that variable as part of my follow-up actions. It's stored in memory for me, and I can store that at the user level so it's available across conversations, or I can store it at the dialog level so that it's just available within this context. Beyond that, custom actions within Visual Studio or Visual Studio Code is the way to go. If you want to connect to a system and do something a little bit more complex than maybe just a HTTP request, actually have some business logic abstracted away, you can actually build your own custom actions. And a once you've integrated them, which takes a few minutes, you get an extra menu option in here called custom actions. And your actions can be added to the canvas just like any of the built-in ones.
Excellent. Okay, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to playing with that for sure. Cause that would really top off, put a cherry on top of some really fun projects I got going on. I could send some information, collect information from chat, send that over place, bring it back. Awesome stuff. Let's do one more question before we transition onto our next talk. Brandon Toes, over in, Learn TV chat has asked, how natural is a speech-driven conversational AI? Specifically, is it pretty obvious to the customer that they're talking to a bot?
You know what? If we were having this conversation 18 months ago, I would say, it was pretty obvious. But actually, with conversational AI, you're seeing the coming together of lots of different cognitive services, like our speech service and the language understanding service that we've already seen today. Thanks to language understanding, we can now understand humans very, very easily once we've built that model. So it's not like every single time I say something, it says, sorry, I don't understand, let's try again. And gone are the days where I need to do press one for this, press two for that, right? I can just use natural language.
Yeah.
On the way back out, in terms of how the bot speaks, we now have phenomenal, natural, so natural sounding voice fonts, neural voice fonts as part of the speech service. And they can be used in front of your bot using the direct line speech channel, which is available through Azure Bot Service. You can pick one of those custom voice fonts. The voice sounds so incredibly natural that it can feel really, really engaging to be having a conversation with the bot. And I think that's only going to improve, even over the next few months, I expect to see further improvements in that. But it's absolutely, one of the most common scenarios I think we're going to see in the next 12, 18 months is speech-driven bots.
Yeah. It's getting very difficult to tell the difference for sure in chat. And I would say a lot of it, just watching your demo and poking around in there myself, a lot of it I think can be covered. It depends on the implementation. Depends on if you put your own trigger phrases in there and your intentions, and you marry those up and you say, if somebody says help, that could mean this, this, and this. If they say, you'd get to decide how natural, I guess, you want it to be.
Yeah, and I think a good point there, actually, that you make is we had a help trigger in the project today that you saw that was at the top level. So anytime I said help, it's going to show me that generic help message. You can make these things as natural as you want. You can actually have nested triggers, like you saw with the edit comment trigger, within dialogues. So I could have had multiple help triggers, each one of them inside a different part of my conversation. And if I say help whilst I'm filling out the vacation request form, I'm going to get in context help at that point. Using those triggers to help with disambiguation, context switching, and interruption, really, they're the sorts of things that make things feel more natural. And that's why I chose to focus on interruption today, because it's how a conversation works with a human. And if we can map those paradigms, then we're onto a winner.
Yeah, when you can, I mean, if you're going to derail the conversation, which is going to happen anyway, you know, you better have something in place that can bring you back and pick up right where you left off. So,
right.
Really cool stuff.